In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's very appropriate that Transfiguration is celebrated during a fasting period. When it historically occurred, it was just before the Lord's ascension to the cross. So it would be, if we commemorated it at the time of its historical occurrence, it would be during Great Lent. And during Great Lent, we don't want to celebrate anything with too much festivity. So it wasn't appropriate, the fathers thought, the church thought, the Holy Spirit decreed that we would celebrate Transfiguration during Great Lent. But we want to keep the connection between Transfiguration and our Lord's Passion because it occurred shortly before his Passion. So the feast was moved to another fasting period and exactly 40 days before the exaltation of the Holy Cross. So there's that connection with the cross because of the 40-day interval. And it's extremely appropriate that the Transfiguration is during a fasting period, and I'll tell you why. Not only because historically it occurred just before the Lord ascended the cross, but also because the Lord was transfigured on the mountain. His disciples saw how he really is. He revealed to themselves how he really is all the time. It's not like he turned on a light. The light's always on. The divine light is always streaming forth from him because of his divinity. But he made them able to see this light. He made them able to see, and showed us our future, that we will see the divine light. That's the greatest teaching of the Transfiguration. There's many others, but this is, I think, the core teaching, that indeed we can partake of the energy of God. That's our future, to be in the divine light where there's no shadow. But they were in that divine light where there is no shadow, and they were confused. They were afraid. Peter was speaking out of his head. And then the Lord said, don't say anything about this until I'm resurrected. And so very shortly thereafter, they went to Jerusalem, and all the rest occurred. His trial and his crucifixion, and resurrection, and the ascension, the giving of the Holy Spirit, all that transpired. And it's appropriate that we remember that after the first transfiguration, shall we say, or the historical event of the Lord going up on Mount Tabor, that the apostles were right back in the midst of the world. They were frightened. They were confused. They ran away. They were afraid for their lives. Later on, after the resurrection, they hid, and then, with the giving of the Holy Spirit, they became emboldened. Over 3,000 men and were converted on the day of the of Pentecost, and then they preached and they teached all and they taught all over the world. And of course, they were persecuted, and they were imprisoned, and they were beaten, and they were strangled and beheaded and crucified and shot through with arrows. All these things happened to them. But the Lord had been on the mountain and showed them what the future will be. But that's the future. It's the future and the present. See, Christianity has this beautiful kind of suspension of time, because the kingdom of heaven is to come, and it's also now, because the kingdom of heaven is within us. Now, it's not fully revealed in us because of our sins, because of our confusion, because of all of the noise in the world and the difficulties in the world and the persecutions, which I've been telling you for a long time will increase. There's no doubt about it that persecutions against Christians are going to increase. And in some places in the world, of course, they're at a horrible level. China, certainly in Afghanistan now. I read a report that now the Taliban is going house to house. And if they find a Christian, they kill them. So this kind of reality happens in our day. It's not just in our history books when we read the lives of the saints, like St. Domitius that we read about today, who was martyred. This is happening now. It's happening as we speak. It's been happening in Syria for a long time, in Egypt, all over the world, and eventually it's going to come to our shores. Maybe not in terms of house-to-house searches and people being killed for being Christians, but there will be things that happen, for sure. And how do we reconcile the Lord showing his glory to us with all of the other things that happen? This is our lot in life. The Lord showed the apostles, the three, his transfigured self because he wanted to strengthen them. Now, he knew that they had enough strength. They had sort of, shall we say, enough spiritual inertia because of their love of him to be able to make it through the crucifixion. They would get scared. They'd run away. Peter would deny him three times. Of course, Judas would not only deny him, but also betray him and then hang himself. But they would make it through that. But it would be a difficult time for them. And if they didn't have other things to strengthen them, they would fall away. They would have fallen away completely. But the Lord wouldn't allow that. He wouldn't allow Satan to, as he said to Peter, sift him like wheat. He wouldn't allow that to happen. So he told them about things to come. And then he showed them things to come. And then after the resurrection, which they got through barely, then when they were told by the apostles of what happened, then they had more strength and they could stay longer. And still, they were weak. They would have fallen. There's no doubt about it. They would have fallen away if not for the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is not blasphemous to say. We're weak vessels. But the Lord will not let us die. Not if we love him. He will not let us be taken, no matter how difficult it appears. You know, after the resurrection, they were still hiding. They were still frightened. They were full of joy, but they didn't really know what to do with that joy. They didn't have the energy to go out to the world because they were still afraid. And they would have fallen, but the Lord brought them the Holy Spirit then, of course, 50 days after Pascha. And he showed them the ascension 40 days after Pascha to show them more of what will happen. So we'll go up into the heavens, body and soul, and we will be with God, who is light. That's what the transfiguration and the ascension tell us together. And I think the transfiguration in an even more intimate way, because of course, the Lord going up into the heavens is he goes up and up and up, and then he's gone. He's still gone from our sight. But the apostles remembered, the apostle Peter particularly, he remembered the transfiguration. It energized his whole life. When he's writing basically his memoir, 1st and 2nd Peter, especially 2nd Peter, he's remembering about what happened on the mountain. But he remembers it in a different way than it happened. He remembers it in a joyful way. He was afraid when it happened the first time. He was confused when it happened the first time. But he was energized by it. And now he remembers it with great joy. I think much like a woman would remember the birth of a child. The birth of a child can be a very difficult thing, a long, tiring, and painful event. But when they remember the day of the birth of their child, they only remember the joy. And that's what Peter remembered. The joy of seeing his Lord transfigured. The joy of somehow knowing, by the Lord inculcating in him this knowledge, that this was his future, and this was the future of all who would follow him. So they came down off the mountain. Of course, after they came down off the mountain, there was the boy who was possessed, and the father said, your disciples couldn't heal him. And so they're right in the middle of everything as soon as they come off the mountain. So are we. So we should not be afraid. Bad things are going to happen. Difficulties are going to happen. Temptations are going to happen. I just talked to someone recently, and a temptation happened that was completely unexpected. Boom, just like that. Troubled this person very much. I wasn't that troubled by it because I expect temptations to happen. I think they acquitted themselves reasonably well. Didn't come out completely unscathed, but more or less got away from the temptation. Glory be to God for that. It's going to happen to you and me. It happens to be you and me every day, and it's just increasing. My wife works for a hospital. So far, they haven't required vaccination, but they're going to. They're thinking about it. And if they're thinking about it, well, come on, they're going to do it because everybody's following in lockstep because this is 1984. This is, we got to follow what the dear leader says. And whoever the dear leader is, I'm not sure who the dear leader is, but it's kind of this concept. And she also said that there are hospitals in Dallas that are not accepting unvaccinated patients. I don't know what that means. You break your leg, you can't go to the hospital to get surgery. I don't know exactly what that means. So we're seeing things tightening up. And as a human being, that makes me nervous. Makes me nervous if someone I love gets sick or has an auto accident or something, and that their care could be denied them. But really, that's not too much different than it's been for most of human history, right? For most of human history, if there's a terrible accident, there wasn't medical facilities to take care of such a person. I've been in the middle of the nowhere in Africa several times, and I said, are there black mambas around here? He says, yeah, we don't see them too often. Okay, and I'm tromping through the woods with them. And of course, everybody's just wearing sandals. It's me too. And he says, no, they're usually run away from you. But if we got bit by a black mamba, if one of us got bitten, it would be a minimum of 5 to 10 hours. And when I was on an island, it would have been probably, could have been a whole day before I'd get medical care, which means I'd die. So there's a lot of places in the world where there's not these things available. Maybe it'll happen to us. I don't know. I'm not really, as a person, as a human being, I'm concerned about it. But as a Christian, the transfiguration shows our future. This is how we should order our life now. We have to live according to this. We have to live with fidelity to this and not with fear. We can't give in to fear. To be afraid sometimes, okay, but we have to be courageous. We can't let any fear dictate how we live as Christians. We can't do that. Peter didn't do that. Peter went through incredible trials after the resurrection and after the giving of the Holy Spirit, and he remembered the Lord on the mount. It's quite an advantage, don't you think, to remember that occurrence? But we haven't had that occurrence happen to us yet, but we know it's going to happen. We know it's true. So we should be just as energized by it and not expect that being a Christian means things go well. Things often don't go well for Christians. Just read the Menaean. Often they don't. And especially Christians who are willing to really stand up for being a Christian. They don't go well sometimes. But we should not be afraid. We should be energized because we have seen our future. We're living our future now. In the present, we're living our future. Not completely, but at least to some extent, we're experiencing God. So let's not be afraid. But let's not have any expectations. We have no prosperity gospel kind of preaching in our church. This idea that if you're a Christian, somehow you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy. And things will be going okay for you. And if they're not going okay, that's some sign that God is not blessing you. That's complete malarkey. That's satanic effluent. The truth is that none of that stuff matters because it's all temporal. That's what the Transfiguration teaches us. So yesterday I talked about, and a little bit today, the first great teaching of the Transfiguration is this is our future, to be in the light of God, body and soul with him forever, where there is no darkness, no shadow, no sighing, no sorrow. But also, in this life, we have to live according to that future, even though in this life there is darkness, and there is shadow, and there is sighing, and there is sorrow. God bless you, and God help you in all things. I mean.